This morning we read once again from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 21, verses 23 to 32. Another challenging passage from Matthew. When he entered the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came to him as he was teaching and said, "By what authority are you doing these things, and who gave you this authority?" Jesus said to them, "I will ask you one question. If you tell me the answer, then I will also tell you by what authority I do these things. Did the baptism of John come from heaven, or was it of human origin?" And they argued with one another, "If we say from heaven, he will say to us, 'Why then did you not believe him?' But if we say of human origin, we are afraid of the crowd, for all regard John as a prophet." So they answered Jesus, "We do not know." And he said to them, "Neither will I tell you then by what authority I am doing these things." "So what do you think?" he said. "A man had two sons. He went to the first and said, 'Son, go and work in the vineyard today.' He answered, 'I will not.' But later, he changed his mind and went. The father went to the second and said the same, and he answered, 'I go, sir.' But he did not go. Which of the two did the will of his father?" They said, "The first." Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are going into heaven ahead of you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him, but the tax collectors and the prostitutes believed him. And even after you saw it, you did not change your mind and believe him." Through these words, God's voice is heard. Let us pray. Gracious God, it is so easy to read your word and to set it aside. We're full of good intentions, but it's so hard to turn those intentions into good works, good words, good deeds. Challenge us, O God, to keep listening, to take seriously the things you tell us, and then to follow faithfully. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. I may be smiling a little more this morning because I am alone in my house as of yesterday afternoon. Of the 6.5 years I have owned my own home, I have only lived alone for 6 months. We've all done well to share space in a small house, I think, but there have been moments of tension for sure. And you know, I realized reading the gospel reading this week, a lot of those moments of tension have to do with good intentions that don't translate into action. And when that happens, I find myself slipping into behavior of which I am not particularly fond. On a regular basis over the past few weeks, a smoke detector has been going off, because my son does a lot of amazing cooking, and he removes the smoke detector. And so after asking twice this week for it to be put back into place, when I walked past it again the third time, I did what I always hate myself for doing. I said, "Oh, did you put the smoke detector back in place?" I knew he hadn't, because I'd just seen it, and it was not in place. It was sitting where it had been sitting for the past week. And so I slipped into that stupid, passive-aggressive behavior we all hate in relationships that happen when good intentions don't translate into action. Ian McEwan, in his delightful little book, Daydreamer, and by the way, it's about the only Ian McEwan book you can talk about in worship, speaks of the air being filled with accusations disguised as questions. Think about that. Accusations disguised as questions. I imagine this is familiar to all of you. Did you take the garbage out? You know they didn't. Did you make your bed? You know the bed's not made. Did you pay the bills? Did you care for the poor? Did you speak out against injustice? Are you living your life with respect for creation? Do you treat others with respect and not with disdain? Did you just have good intentions? Or did you follow faithfully always and not just when it suited you? You know, so much of our time and energy in this life is spent playing those silly mind games with others and often with the people we love the most, urging them in our usual dysfunctional way to move on from their intentions and obligations to action. And I don't know, maybe that's just the default mode for our daily lives, but I think we could and should do better than that with our lives of faith. I mean, there's enough of that sort of passive-aggressive stuff in the history of God's interaction with the Israelite people. You know, being asked to tie your firstborn son to the altar and then being told, no, 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 it's okay. Running away from your mission of speaking truth to a people who don't want to hear it, getting swallowed by a whale. We really don't want to revert to those kinds of mind games with God to get us to take things seriously, do we? So how do we move ourselves then from just living with good intentions to actually doing the good we know we can and should do? Well, I don't know. If you're like me, the state of the world can sometimes seem a little overwhelming. And sometimes we find ourselves unable to respond because we feel there's really no sense we'll never make a dent. But in the few moments we have today to think about this, I'd like to suggest one simple thing. I'd like to suggest that all of us just choose one little piece, one little thing, as our way of making a dent in the needs of the world over the coming months. Some of you were here last Sunday when we celebrated the fact that the Malham family have been with us now for a year, and that's wonderful, and we're happy to have supported them, but our official support has come to an end, and their needs and their struggle to create a new life continue. So some of you might decide you would like to continue to be a support to them as they settle into their new home, and we can help you know how to do that. If you're more of a political activist, all you have to do is go to the United Church website and pick a topic, and there will be ideas for you there about how you can take a side against injustice, against poverty, against major political issues in our world, and you can become proactive in one way or another. And we need not be discouraged, really. You know, when you look around this morning, too often we complain about low attendance in our churches, and I think we all wish pews were filled on a Sunday morning. But if you look around this morning, you will notice the incredible potential we have in this church. So if on a weekly basis, each of us were to simply resolve to do one little thing to alleviate some of the world's pain and suffering, think of all of the good that could be done. If each one of us did one simple thing every week for the next year, think of the good that could be done. Just make one simple phone call to someone who is lonely, struggling, living in fear of the future. Sign an amnesty petition. Find a community organization to support. You know, yesterday I asked a simple question on an Oakville Facebook page about organizations that we have here in Oakville that allow opportunities for people to do good to others. And I was totally overwhelmed by the response. And that tells me two things. One is that there are a multitude of needs right here at home. You know, we can sometimes fool ourselves into believing that here in Oakville, we have no issues. We are the privileged. And let's be honest, most of us are. But we need only read the Halton News online to know that there is enough work right here at home to keep us busy if we really want to turn those good intentions into deeds of kindness and grace. And the other thing the response told me is that we have an overwhelming number of organizations here in Oakville and the region through which people can volunteer to do good for others. And so I simply challenge you, do good. Turn those best intentions into words and deeds of grace, and don't forget. Because the last thing I want to have to do, and the last thing God wants to have to do, is to nag you or to start with those famous accusations disguised as questions. As Nike would say, just do it.